You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, June 19th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all of the different platforms. Thank you for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. When you had to read 1984 back in the day, I mean, we all wondered what the future would be like. How Orwellian did you really think it was going to be? And did you think it was going to be something that was going to come from the far left or the far right? I mean, we now know the answer. We now have a big brother, and now we have a speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly demanding the thought police on campus because he thinks that there's too much political correctness, which is just another way of saying, you know, we're debating facts and agreeing on what the facts are. But Robin Voss doesn't like that. And so we'll talk about the things that he's demanding. Otherwise, he's going to cut the UW system, which is already one of the least well-supported universities in the country in terms of support from their legislature. So we'll get into that. Also coming up on the program today, we are going to be talking about Juneteenth. The Juneteenth holiday is today. It is a holiday for an increasing number of people, and rightly so. As we talk about the origins of the holiday, it's a day marking true American freedom, and is worthy of celebration for reasons we will explain coming up. It also helps kick off a true summertime arrival. I mean, the actual start of summer is, what, still like 2-3 days away? But the festivals really ramp up starting this weekend, starting today with Summerfest and other festivals. Sharita Booker will talk to us about some of them. We'll talk to somebody from the Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids as well coming up today. All about things that you can do this weekend if you want to get away. In our third hour, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and we'll talk about cryptocurrency, which, you know, I'll put my bias right out there on the table because I don't think it's a bias. I think it is what it is. It's not real. It's a scam. I think it poses tremendous dangers to the economy, the American economy, the global economy. Without, at the very least, you can't wish it away. But like so many other things, there needs to be a proper, you define the term, amount of regulation. We need guardrails on this thing, or it will be, you know, the way that tulips were back in, you know, back in the olden days, all kinds of other things that have caused economic panics. And yet, because the crypto bros were so instrumental in helping Donald Trump win the White House, Trump, who himself was a crypto skeptic in the beginning, is now counting all that money he's getting and making steps along with his buddies in Congress to try to lend some legitimacy to the crypto industry. But putting your name on it doesn't make it any less risky. So we'll talk to Sean a bit about that. And Joe Zepecki will visit with us and talk about his run for state Democratic Party chair and the path forward to better election outcomes coming up in 2026. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about the weather for the weekend. She also has a story out on Civic Media about smallmouth bass fishing. So we'll talk a bit about that coming up today as well. And, of course, you can join us along the way. You can send us a text message or make a comment. You can text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the Facebook or YouTube pages for Up North News or for Civic Media. We'd love to have you along. And of course, you can send us an email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Upnorthnewswi.com is where you can also subscribe to our various emails, including the one today from Christina Laurie about Juneteenth and the origin of the holiday. Oh, and I haven't mentioned lately that on that Civic Media app, you can also leave us a voice note. It's a relatively new feature, and I haven't seen it used a bunch yet, just a little handful here and there. Maybe we need to talk about it a bit more and encourage people to use it, but it is there. Go to any Civic Media station, and you can either hit the button for text or call or voice note and leave that voice note for us. Taking a look at Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state today, she says, even with the spots of sunshine to start, we are still stuck in an active pattern for showers and storms until the front lifts north for the weekend. There has already been issued an extreme heat watch for Saturday and Sunday in parts of Wisconsin. Her state forecast for today says partly sunny and warm. Spotty showers and storms late this afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s up north, mid-80s south, with a west wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered showers and storms possible tonight. Lows will be in the upper 50s up north, mid-60s south, with a southwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And again, more from Ms. Merlot coming up in our second hour, where I will also ask her about the sun getting up so much earlier now this time of year, and some of us are waking up earlier than ever. Not Parker Olson, who's standing by in Madison Studio A2. He wakes up too early as it is for a man of his age, which is...
This is true.
What time are you getting up nowadays for this gig?
4.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I mean, that's humane, you know. Roger on Facebook says, yeah, astronomical twilight is the term. Yes. In fact, Roger, even in one of the Facebook pages, puts a link to a website called timeanddate.com, timeanddate.com. And Roger, that's exactly the site that I'm talking about that I look at and say, you know, what do you call it when the sun is, you know, it's not up yet, but it's starting to get brighter out there? And so we'll talk to Brittany about that. Greg in Waukesha says, good morning. Thank you so much for that. Oh, Tony reminds me, I haven't mentioned the other Facebook page, the one that's called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The one that Tony suggested I name after the radio show. Crazy, huh? So
who'd have thought of that?
I know. Tony also asking if I've fired Parker yet for drinking too much water. Why would I do that?
Is that something I should be worried about, Pat?
I wouldn't think so, but
okay.
I don't know. Anyway, where are we at? Thursday, I'm talking about the festivals and things that are getting going this weekend, and are you looking ahead to doing anything over the weekend? Do you go to Summerfest, or will you be doing Mallards games?
I'm doing Mallards games. I would really like to get out to Summerfest at some point this year, because mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever done straight up Summerfest. I've done Irish Fest a couple of times, but never the actual Summerfest. That would be very fun to do. I know Hozier is there, and I would love to see Hozier there. Mm-hmm. I asked a buddy of mine to go to that, and he goes, oh, I'd love to. Hang on. I have tickets for one other show at some point this summer. Let me check. And it is that exact day.
All right.
So,
well.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Of course.
Well,
yeah.
Well, 1 in 365, what am I saying? Alicia tells us it's a foggy morning in Marinette, and Tony explains, asking if I'd fired Parker because he hadn't shown up yet for the first 10 minutes of the show. Well, yeah, that's where I'm still waking up and rambling on and telling you what's coming on the show and what I've seen, and it's not fair to Parker to subject him to that until I'm fully awake. It takes a good 10 minutes of endless talking before I really get going here.
The coffee really starts flowing once you're
It
talking.
Really starts kicking in at that point, yeah. The Brewers and Cubs were rained out at Wrigley Field last night. Sure is a shame they don't have a dome or something like that down in Chicago, isn't it?
Yes, but also I am a big fan of outdoor stadiums in baseball.
I am too. Have you ever heard of these domes that retract, these roofs?
Well, okay.
You can open and close them?
Well, they're not open enough, let me tell you that.
I think they're cool. Chicago does not have those. So the Cubs got rained out. The White Sox got rained out. The Tigers got rained out in Detroit. Games in Cincinnati and Washington, D.C. were delayed by rain. I'm looking at the MLB network thinking, I got to get my baseball fix somewhere. And they're just showing field after field after field where the tarp is down and the rain is coming down. And so for the Brewers and Cubs, It will all get made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on Monday, August 18th. So the makeup game will be in the afternoon, the regularly scheduled game at night. The two teams are scheduled to wrap up their series this afternoon. It is not clear if the Brewers are going to stick with rookie Jacob Mazurowski, who was supposed to get his second major league start last night. And you can catch the pregame starting at 12:45 this afternoon on several Civic media stations. And Roger puts on Facebook, WIAA State Baseball wraps up today with the four championships. Best of luck to Pacelli. Go Cardinals. So thank you for that. Is that today? Championships are today, huh? Oh, yeah, it's the 19th. Yeah. It is. Wow.
It's a big day.
I do not. Yeah, I don't have the lineups in front of me here. NBA Finals, Game 6 is tonight in Indiana. Oklahoma City could clinch tonight, or the Pacers could end up forcing a Game 7. We've also got the WIAA Girls Soccer Championships running, through today in Milwaukee as well. Let's see, Tony puts up on YouTube, I love doubleheaders, always pulling for the other team to go to the bullpen early so that they are in trouble for the night game. That's the thing. Some pitchers, who was it that had a complete game against the Brewers last week, you know?
Oh,
and there's
so
few complete games. So you got to be careful with that, Tony. You root for the bullpen, and next thing you know, their starting pitcher gets hot. And
knowing the Brewers' luck, yeah.
Yeah. Although the Brewers, I saw a stat last night. I mean, their starting pitching overall is still the fifth best ERA in the major leagues. So
as our bats often are just happens, awful. Yeah.
So, as so often happens with this team, I mean, you're putting baling wire and whatever else, you know, using some gum and whatever, however you can MacGyver the pitching staff, and we still do okay, but, you know, the injuries are keeping us from really firing on all cylinders. So,
yeah, it'd be nice to have somebody just absolutely start cranking homers all the time. That'd be really cool.
It would be wonderful. I have one last sports thing to ask about, and I'm uncomfortable going here, but I have to. It's about the WNBA and Caitlin Clark.
Oh, boy.
Caitlin Clark is a generational talent.
Yes.
And she's the best thing there in that league.
Yes.
And the women playing against her, I mean, they ought to be shaking her hand constantly because their paycheck is going to get a little bigger because of her. And instead... Yeah. I mean, they are just clotheslining her, poking her in the eye, knocking her down. Finally, one of her teammates, you know, Sophie Cunningham, came to her defense and got ejected for doing that. And it leads me to this question. And again, I don't like asking this, but I feel like at this point, you know, she should be treated with much more respect. Instead, she's getting beat up like this. Is all this fighting, all these altercations, is the WNBA like borrowing from the WWE playbook? Like, they're not just gonna watch basketball, so let's get them mixed up, let's get some altercations in there. I don't like sounding that way, but again, why else would you be whomping on this woman who is single-handedly bringing your league up on stage?
I would love to hear opinions from other players on her and her like personality on court and why they treat her the way they do.
And if that's the case, say so. But I haven't gotten that impression, but I'm also not the one there on the court. Tony's saying, I have no idea why they're treating her that way. It is bananas. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. We'll discuss it, you know, at some point in the near future, I'm sure, after the next fight. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Parker's just finding us all kinds of new bumper music here from this new library that we get to dip into here.
Yeah, so trying to keep you on your toes.
a Thursday morning vibe to it. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will not have our usual Friday guests, like almost any of them, well, at least for the first 2 hours of the show, because everybody's got days off or they're traveling or have other conflicts. So at 6:30 tomorrow, instead of Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, we will be talking to Catherine Hempstead, the senior policy advisor at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, because they just put out a new report on the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle. And if that thing holds, Wisconsin hospitals are going to see a $3 billion reduction in spending over the next decade. And there will also be a $900 million increase in uncompensated care in Wisconsin hospitals. And there will be Wisconsin hospitals that cannot survive that. This current bill is detrimental to the health of rural health care in Wisconsin. And so we'll talk to Catherine Hempstead about that study tomorrow. And also, in place of Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel, believe it or not, I found one woman who can replace them all. And that would be the one, the only, Joan Esposito, Chicago broadcasting legend, is going to join me for the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at 8:05 tomorrow and Mike Clemens with sports at 8:30. So a lot to cover, not your typical Friday tomorrow. Let's see, from on the text line. Oh, this would be Luke Mathers saying, I'm going to see, help me again here, it's Hozier, not Hozier, not Hozier.
Hozier.
Hozier? Should I go with the French?
Hozier.
Okay.
Like Hozier. Like the word cozier.
Okay. Like cozier. Hozier. All right. Yeah. So Luke is going to go see him, them. Is this a Bon Iver situation where it's a band name, but it's one person?
It's, yeah. Yeah. One person, but it's a band. Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear on this. Grandpa wants to understand these things. So
I'm proud of you, Grandpa.
Let's take a look at what's happening at the state capitol here, because it is, well, it's interesting. Because you have a University of Wisconsin system that is already one of the least supported in the country in terms of public funding by legislatures around the country. And we know why that is. It's part of an ongoing Republican war against education. It started with a war on teachers back during Act 10. And now Republican lawmakers want to drag the UW down further. Instead of considering requests from Governor Tony Evers, and not just Governor Tony Evers, but hundreds upon hundreds of business leaders who asked Republican legislators to better support the UW, and the governor put in a request for more than $800 million in improved funding for the UW system. Now, Republicans were never going to approve $800 in additional funding for the UW system. They might have done, you know, half of that or a quarter of that. They're not even going to do that. They are actually talking about cutting the level of funding further for the UW system. And why is that? Well, see the comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, the only way to describe it is the perpetual whining about quote unquote political correctness. And has them, thank you. Oh, there he is now. It has them demanding changes in how ideas are discussed. I mean, I am no expert on Orwellian literature, but how much closer to, you know, the thought police can you get? A lot of this started with our colleague Todd Alba, who had been talking to folks in the Capitol, and got word of this possibility that rather than just a diminished level of increased support for the UW, they might actually cut the funding. And for a little while, Republicans were playing rather coy with it. And then, you know, Robin Voss, you can always count on him to eventually say, you know, the quiet parts out loud and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Because according to him, the UW system had not done enough to ensure conservative students feel like they belong on campus. Well, let's look at that for a bit. What is the track record so far of the current conservative movement? Because, again, the Orwellian parallels are striking. Because in 1984, you've got a Ministry of Truth that works to rewrite historical records. What do we see now with the so-called DEI attacks, which are nothing more than trying to erase the history of Black Americans and Native Americans and the LGBTQ community? So we have something close to a ministry of truth and a hostility in this legislature as well that wanted to cut the UW system last time around until the various DEI positions for diversity, equity, and inclusion, the horror, were gutted. And of course, I mean, there's the official government actions taken against those who fall out of favor with the ruling party. They become unpersons in the 1984 novel, unpersons disappearing with all evidence of their existence destroyed. Well, we are certainly seeing more of Trump using secret police to disappear people, including American citizens, until Big Brother is confident that they are who they say they are. I don't know, Winston. I'm just telling you to figure it out more quickly that if the people who are trying to erase history and disappear people are now demanding changes in political thought, you might want to rethink whether these are the best people who would lead our University of Wisconsin system, our legislature, and our state. We will check in with Melissa Baldoff. Our climate check report yesterday turned much more toward some of the politics involved with her husband, Joe Zepecki, running for chair and much more. So that's all coming up yet on this edition of Mornings Powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. Check with political strategist Melissa Baldoff, who also had a busy weekend at the state Democratic convention, where her hubs Joe Zepecki will join us to talk about the campaign for state party chair. As usual, everybody puts on a unified face for Devin Remaker, but Joe could not have been more gracious in thanking Devin and William Garcia. And Melissa, I think you'd probably add a special thank you to all the folks who helped back Joe during his campaign. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yes, thank you so much to everybody who, supported Joe, of course, but also just everybody who was able to show up and attend the convention. It was a really lovely weekend. And it was, a fun and different experience for me, having been to so many of these as somebody who was a staff person for WISDEMS and helping to put on the convention for a number of years, and then, attending them, with various, bosses or, candidates, clients over the years. And so this was, my first one just kind of going to, but not really just going to, because I was there with my husband running for party office. So it was a little bit different experience all around, but still a good one.
Yeah, very much so. And I had forgotten, and I've done this a couple of times now, showing my age, but the convention moved to a Saturday-Sunday format recently. Well, I don't know how recently, but I was used to it being a Friday-Saturday thing. And I will take note that former state party chair Mike Tate had a post the other day about that, this was an interesting experiment, but maybe we should revisit the Friday-Saturday format. I'm not going to say one is right or wrong. I don't know if it's preference or logistics or whatever you want to call it. But if it was up to me, I'd still make it more of a Friday-Saturday thing. I don't know if you notice any difference in terms of turnout and, who's
significant,
able to make it.
Significant turnout difference. So there were, less than 1,000 votes cast for party chair at this convention. And the last time, 10 years ago, the last time there was a very hotly contested party chairs race, there were like 1,400 votes cast. So it was a significant drop off. And there was also a big drop off in the number of delegates that, you know, registered versus who voted. So, you know, I agree with Mike Tate that it's, you know, an opportunity to look at, you know, did the old format work better? I know that part of the reason people in the first place wanted to switch to Saturday and Sunday was just concerns maybe about, is that easier for people, you know, than trying to take Friday off of work? But, you know, I think that there's, you know, good points on both sides. Like you said, it's something to look at. I would also say it's something to look at if there are virtual options for attendance, if there are ways that people can, you know, maybe vote for a party chair, you know, at their, you know, congressional level caucus. You know, so, you know, I just think there's a lot we can talk about as a party to be more inclusive, to make this more accessible, because, you know, going away for a weekend in the Dells over Father's Day weekend is not cheap. And, you know, we want to bring in more people. And, you know, if you can't afford to go stay at a resort or a hotel nearby for the weekend, you know, you're priced out of going. If you're maybe somebody who doesn't work, you know, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, and you have to work on the weekends, then you're not able to go. If you're a single parent who doesn't have anyone to watch your kids so you can go, you know, those are all things that make it, you know, put up a barrier to people being able to participate in the process. And as Democrats, you know, we believe in making our party more accessible to everybody. And, you know, if we want to bring in more people and get them as a part of the process, I think it's, you know, it's worth conversations.
From Ardith on Facebook, I was sorry to see Joe come up short, but I hope you two will continue to be very visible because I think you are the future of Wisconsin fair and honest government. That was nice of you, Ardith. Thank you for
putting that
up. Well,
that was very kind to hear. Thank you so much, Ardith.
And not everybody from the family could be a part of the convention because there was split allegiances. There were people that had to get over to Polish Fest, but for good reason, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So usually our family is at Polish Fest, and usually quite a number of Joe's family is working at Polish Fest. And this year we have royalty in the family. I am so proud of our niece Everett, who is a Little Miss Polish Fest princess. We were so sad that we were not able to be there in person to cheer her on in her pursuit of the crown. But other family was there to be, you know, to support her, cheer her on. We got to see video and are so proud of her and her sister Micah, who was also a runner-up in her age group. So we're very proud of our little Polish princesses and look forward to, you know, celebrating Everett's reign alongside her and being at other festivals with the family over the summer.
That is just wonderful. And I do believe German Fest is another big one that you and Joe like to attend.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to see Joe again, who likes what they've heard and seen from Joe Zepecki, can come find him at German Fest, where he will be, you know, grilling brats.
Yes, again, July 25th, 26th, 27th. That's where you'll find Joe. So there was my conversation, part of it, with Melissa Baldoff yesterday. We then got into more of the traditional climate check discussion, and it's a lot easier to simply sum it up this time around, because I may have mentioned it during this hour yesterday as well, that Republicans in the U.S. Senate have taken a look at what Republicans passed in the U.S. House for their version of Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. And they have heard the hue and cry from people about, you know, tremendous cuts to Medicaid and other vital services. And Senate Republicans answered that with a bill that calls for more and deeper cuts to Medicaid and other essential services. Why deeper cuts? Because there's actually some cuts from the House Republican bill that they want to pull back. Not the cuts to Medicaid, but the tax credits that would go toward clean energy, job creation, new industries, things like that. As we've discussed several times with Melissa on the program here, when the Inflation Reduction Act passed, and it was the most landmark piece of legislation in terms of making investments that would be good for the climate and reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, the initial benefits from the Inflation Reduction Act have been going predominantly to states that have Republican members of Congress and Republican senators. It's working as well in red America as it is in blue, as you create the solar farms and the wind turbines and everything else. And Republicans are looking at this and going, well, I don't want to lose those. So to preserve the tax credits that are bringing some jobs, because they're not bringing jobs to those areas. It was Joe Biden and Democrats passing the Inflation Reduction Act that brought jobs to rural America. And so their feeling is, well, I don't want to lose the jobs, so I'll endanger everybody's health care. So the Republican bill has even deeper cuts. And of course, you know, Melissa's reaction was that this is really no surprise that while everybody is happy to see the tax credits continue, by and large, you still have a bill that is, well, a big bloated boondoggle at this point. And you have people like, you know, Ron Johnson still demanding even steeper cuts, which, by the way, I don't really buy. And I'll want to run this by Joe Zepecki and others at some point here. Ron Johnson's saying that the current Trump big bloated budget boondoggle bill drives up the deficit too much. And he's right. I mean, it's $3-4 trillion that drives it up. And so he says he'd like to see maybe things like more cuts, more spending cuts, more Medicaid cuts, things like that. But what's he really want? Because this is the same game that he played 8 years ago for the first Trump term and that tax plan that passed in 2017. And he was a no initially on that as well, until he got in a real sweetheart deal for a certain type of corporation called pass-through corporations that he later acknowledged he benefited from personally and quite handsomely, as did some of his billionaire campaign donors. They were able to hold on to hundreds of millions of dollars that they otherwise would have rightly paid in taxes. So if you don't want the deficit going up further, your answer is to get rid of a lot of these sweetheart deals that billionaires are using, because when they don't have to pay their fair share of taxes, who makes that up? You do, because I'm assuming you're not a billionaire. But Ron Johnson's not going to go for that. So what is it that he's looking to get this time? I'm going to be very curious to find out, because this is not done. I know there's all this talk about, wanting this to be done by the 4th of July. That's not going to happen, because, again, I've watched the parallels to the Affordable Care Act, where, again, they wanted to get this done, you know, as early as possible in 2009. And, of course, it dragged into 2010. And by that time, it was election season and folks took out their frustrations because Congress couldn't get things done quickly. Congress very rarely gets things done quickly. And if they do, there's a reason for it. What's the old saying? You can have something cheap or fast or good, any two of those three. And the same goes for legislation as well. Looking at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I wanted to call your attention to an article by Sophie Carson in yesterday's edition. The headline, Wisconsin Tourist Towns Need Students with J-1 Visas. Trump's pause scares businesses. We have not talked nearly enough, again, about the economic impact of Trump's plan for mass deportations of the very workers that our economy needs most in this day and age. We have talked about it from a farm standpoint repeatedly, and it's no less true. But we haven't said nearly enough about, the tourism season in Door County, in Wisconsin Dells, in places up north, Minocqua, Hayward, things like that. The article in the Journal Sentinel talks about, for example, Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Door County, where the staff will serve up to 1,500 diners a day. And about a quarter of its 119 workers are students from other countries who work for about 3 months on what are called J-1 visas before returning home. And it gets to this point about visas. Okay. We have student visas. We have visas for migrant workers to come in and harvest crops. We don't yet have a visa for year-round agricultural work because cows need to be milked year-round. My point is this, whether it's student visas, agricultural visas, a host of other types that are out there, we have a system in place. The system just needs to be fixed. The system is not kept up with the times, the needs of the workforce, the needs of the nation. And so because it's not working right now, it is susceptible to very heavy, targeted, race-based attacks. And that's what we're getting from Donald Trump. And while we're seeing mass deportations in a way that is truly harmful for the economy, but it makes some other people feel good for all the wrong reasons. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here's today's history lesson. We've got a birthday today. This would be Ann Wilson from Heart. Just so much vocal talent there. Ann Wilson is 75 years old today. Ann Wilson and her sister Nancy started Heart so long ago and is just classic rock legends. Actress Zoe Saldana is 47 years old today. Rapper Macklemore is 30. Day in 1910 that the first Father's Day was celebrated in Spokane, Washington. Thai stores have been busy ever since. All right, so this is Ann Wilson singing Straight On. Our next birthday in today's history lesson has a song called Straight Up. Here's Paula Abdul. Paula Abdul is 63 years old today, and she can still dance better than you.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Use it or lose it. She continues to use it. The first ever NASCAR race was held at the Charlotte Motor Speedway this day in 1960. So the first NASCAR race, that was 65 years ago. NASCAR is now a senior citizen. Congratulations, NASCAR.
Yeah. How safe do you think that was back then?
Not.
Not?
The answer is not. Not safe.
Cool.
Not even close. No. Let's see. On this day in 1965... the Supremes had been number one with Back in My Arms Again. They were knocked off the top of the chart by the Four Tops with this one. So a little note about both of these songs, the Supremes' Back in My Arms Again and I Can't Help Myself by the Four Tops. Both were written and produced by the legendary team of Holland Dozier Holland. They were made up of Lamont Dozier and brothers Brian and Eddie Holland. During their tenure at Motown throughout the 1960s, Brian Holland and Dozier, not Dozier, Dozier.
I knew you'd say it.
Were the composers and the producers, while Eddie Holland wrote the lyrics and arranged the vocals for hit after hit after hit after hit for the Four Tops, the Supremes, and many more, including 10 of the Supremes' 12 number one songs. Holland Dozier Holland. They were pretty good. Let's go fast forward just a couple of years to 1971, where the number one album was by Carole King.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place?
Carole King's Tapestry album would hit number one and stay there for 15 weeks. And I don't have the number in front of me anymore, but stayed on the charts for some ridiculous amount of time. Because, I mean, it was, you had to have it from 1971 onward in your record collection. You just had to. Let's go up to 1978. Garfield's first comic strip goes into nationwide syndication.
I like it.
So, yes. So the tubby little tabby is now, what, 47 years old? It's pretty old for a cat. And let's go to 2010 now. God, Katy Perry, should go back that far? Yeah, 2010, Katy Perry had the number one song. So California Girls hit number one. It was the first of five number one hits from Katy Perry's Teenage Dream album. Let's see. This is International Box Day. Yes, we have something that celebrates
boxes.
The box, not Boxing Day, you know, which is that thing the day after Christmas. But yeah, boxes. Let's celebrate the box.
Any specific kind of box?
Just a box.
Just a box. Know? All right.
Just a box. Yeah. Go it's say National thanks. National Martini Day. So for that last night, as I was enjoying one, I was reading up on the different kinds of vermouth that you would put in a martini, which is funny because, and the article I was reading notes that, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that nobody wanted to put vermouth in their martinis anymore. They just wanted the straight gin or straight vodka, you know, shaken or stirred, put a little olive juice in, maybe you don't. And vermouth is kind of making a comeback now. As people realize, much like bitters, you can make them in different flavors and get it just right for the cocktail that you want to have.
There you go.
So put that in your martini
and drink
how
you want it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is National Watch Day. Not with your eyes, but the thing that you wear on your wrist here. And no, you're not watching me.
I'm watching you, Pat.
Parker's making the symbol like watching you. No, watch day. And this is my chance to say, I love my Apple Watch, and I know other people have their Apple Watch, they have their smartwatch and all of that. I'm not taking anything away. These are miracles of technology.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do miss it, you know, again, this is you have to be of a certain age and you have to have so much gray hair to say this. But when you can get a nice, you know, a fine watch, as they would say, you know, and I'm not talking spending $1,000 on it, although an Apple Watch is probably coming up on that much. But I had a couple of watches over the years. They'd since broken, and otherwise I'd wear them more often. But they looked really good. They were nice accessories to have. And I was kind of hoping by now Apple Watch would have like these bands and things that would make them look a bit more fashionable, you know. Right now they all kind of look the same, you know.
Yeah,
a bit.
They're all very like just basic. There's no ornamentation,
but we, you know, we couldn't foresee this back then, so who knows a year or two from now what we're going to be wearing on our wrist. I mean, it's very Dick Tracy.
You might have just tipped off Apple right now. Now
that's
they know
right
what to do.
Yep. Yeah. they're gonna put a little more thought into, you know, juicing this thing up and making it look nice. So we have another busy hour ahead here on the program, live from Chippewa Falls here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Two more hours to go, in fact. And we will be talking about some of the festivals. We will be talking about Juneteenth and its origins and the Juneteenth flag being raised above the state capitol once again. And we'll talk to somebody from the Wisconsin Rapids Cranberry Blossom Fest that's coming up this weekend and hear all about Summerfest. All of it in our next hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.